Amen. That's really his prayer summed up, a fellowship that we could pray together, people get a chance to pray, that we could sing together, that, you know, everybody has something to offer. Everybody has something that they can give. When Janet was speaking, she had something to share, something to offer, something that you could learn by. When Carmen was talking, you know, he had something to give, something to impart. Just doesn't revolve around one person. It's an everybody thing. It's a family thing. Mary had manifestations. The picture that I got in my mind was, you know, when you have a kid and they're friendly with you, they hold your hand, right? But when they're not friendly with you and they're like three, they don't want to hold your hand. But what do? You grab onto their wrist, right? Because they want to get away and do something dumb, or they want to get away and do whatever. And, you know, when we're in fellowship with God, we're holding his hand. But even when we want to get away and do something dumb, what's he doing? He's holding on to our wrist. And you can't go out in the street, or you can't go over to get that big gumdrop. You ever see some of these big jawbusters they make? They're like... And then keep them away from the candy stores. And then manifestations, how wonderful it is that Jesus Christ gave his life. He gave his life so that the Holy Spirit could come, the Comforter could come. And then now that you can have manifestations, you can speak in tongues and interpret, you can prophesy. That's all because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. See, it's always easier to stay stagnant or to go backwards. Do you ever know that? Take working out, for instance, exercising. It's always easier to shut the alarm off when it goes off in the morning and say, just two more minutes. And then you don't have time to go to the gym. It's always easier to say, I'll do it tomorrow. It's always easier to say, I'll go on that diet tomorrow. Right? Because it's... You're stagnant or you go backwards. What is difficult, what is requires strength, what requires your involvement, is to push ahead. See? Janet didn't have to share what she had to share. Maybe that would have been uncomfortable for her. Maybe she had thoughts of it being uncomfortable. Maybe she had thoughts of what will people think of this. You see? And the easy thing would have been just to quietly learn her lesson from God and move on. But when you push ahead, when you put yourself in a position where you have to grow, where you have to get out of your comfort zone, so to speak, and do something, that's when you grow. And then you are able to bless people by what you shared. The other way really would have been selfish. You know, she may have learned a lesson, but then we wouldn't have received the blessing of that. You know, and that's when you share different things. It's not about you, about how you feel, or about your pride, or about this. It's about, will this help other people? Will this bless other people? If someone can learn from my egg on the face, then that's a good thing, so that they don't have to have egg on the face. See? And that's where you want to be. You want to be where you're encouraged. You want to be where you're challenged. You don't want to be where, you know, you can just status quo in your life. And the Bible. You want to read the Bible. You understand? You want to learn verses. You want to learn scripture. You want to have a personal relationship with God. Your relationship can't be based on what you do and come here. See, that's not what it is. That's not about it. Your relationship is an individual relationship. We heard in manifestations that we are God's children and are his family, that he'll take care of us. That God wants to have fellowship with us. God so wants to have fellowship with us that he gave his only begotten son so that he could win us back so he could make available salvation. See? And God wants to be involved in each and every one of your lives. Each and every one of you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Each and every one of you have been given the word of reconciliation. It's not about me or any minister. It's about your building your relationship with God. And we are just supposed to enable you, to help you, to give you the tools to guide you along the way so that you could build your relationship with the Father. So that you know that you know that you know when you hear the truth, it's the truth. So that you can leave and you can walk out and you can live victoriously, that you can walk victoriously, that you can put your hands on the sick and pray for them and expect them to be healed. See? That you can cast the spirit out. Not Nick because Nick is this or Nick is that. It's you. It's all about you, how special you are. Don't undercut your life. Don't sit in a chair and become part of the furniture. This is about you. This is your time that you get to live and you get to do for God. God has enabled you. He has equipped you. What are you doing with the precious gift that He has given you? You see? And each and every one of you have a life and have a ministry. You have a calling. God has called you to do something. Don't just sit in a crowd and do nothing. God has given you, each and every one of you, something to do. Now that's between you and God. And that's what we want to be doing. We want to rise up to do the things that we've been called to do by God. Because we don't want to go and live our life and say, well, he was the minister, he's supposed to be doing that. Well, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're supposed to be doing too. See? Not in to condemn anybody, or I'm not saying it in a critical way. What I'm saying is, you have a responsibility and you have an obligation to God, is what I'm saying. I do not know what that is. But don't dismiss your responsibility and don't dismiss your calling to, you know, I go to fellowship once a week. I go to fellowship twice a week. God wants to fellowship with you 24 hours a day. Well, he'll let you sleep. But sometimes he'll even give you a vision in the dream. Let you dream about sweet things. See? And what we want to do is we want to be able to bring you closer to God so you can experience God in your life. Not that you can just hear about him and have a good feeling. You got to experience God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, please. So when you feel uneasy, when you feel challenged, when you feel edged to go out of your comfort zone, that's a good thing. You remember Janet said, God was smacking me in the face. Nobody likes to get smacked in the face, but that's a challenge to go outside of your comfort zone. The other way would have been much easier. No. He said, shut up, Nick. I said, okay. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. One of the translations says it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder that diligently seek him. Now the word never says that without good works, it's impossible to please God. Now, good works are good. And we should bless one another and we should do good works. The word doesn't say that about a lot of things in the scriptures. But it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we should learn what faith is, and we should learn to walk in it, because we want to be well-pleasing to our Father. Now, I didn't say that. God said it. God said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He could have said a lot of things there, but that's what he said. One of the things you have to understand about faith is that when you come to God, you got to believe that he is. That's part of it. You have to believe that God is. Man, many times, will let you down. Now, I've been so inundated with biblical technical facts and curriculum with different studies that I realize there's a lot of people that can sit down and write out a thesis, but their life doesn't manifest the promise of God. In other words, you got a guy that's a marriage counselor, and he's written 27 books about marriage, and yet he's been divorced 3 times. That's what I'm talking about. And so you got to say to yourself, what's wrong? And what's wrong sometimes is that you can get so technical that you can miss the Word of God completely. Miss the Word of God completely. You know, I've learned this with engineers over and over again. I don't know if I shared this just within the last week. I had an engineer who works for a large engineering company who is over the country, not in the state, but over the country. And he decided he was going to fix his window in his car. And the door opened, the lock worked, the window was just cocked a little bit. And if he would have just taped it up and called someone who knew what they were doing with their hands, it would have been okay, but he was an engineer, you know. And by the time he got done with this car, his boss called me, who's a friend of mine, and he said, I don't want to tell you what happened. This guy's a bleep, 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 bleep. Can you take care of this for me? I said, just tell him to bring it down. So you got a grown man climbing over an SUV that's got a console in the middle because the door doesn't open now, right? The window's like this. He's got tape all over the car. And there's black dum-dum, which is a sealer that holds a plastic vapor and noise barrier to the interior of the door. Well, he ripped that off. He got the stuff on. And now it's a cloth seat, right? He's got the black dum-dum on the cloth seat. Ain't coming out. He's got it on the carpet. He's got it on the sill plate. The sill plate is the plate that the door sits on top of. Okay, he's got it on the steering wheel. The cables are frayed. You know the way a cable frays? There's like 3 strands holding the door cable. There's a harness wire hanging like this, ripped off. And then he looks at me and he says, I only did whatever. And see, I said, okay. And then he kept going on to try to justify. You know, I says, you don't know what you're doing. The best thing you could have did was when the window broke, call me. I says, I'll call you when it's done. So he goes back and he tells his boss, right? I only did whatever. So I take pictures of everything because I don't want him blaming me, saying he ruined my seats. Right? And I send the boss a picture, or several pictures, and I say, a colorful word. Because the guy's like, long story short, I had to buy a door. He screwed up every part of this door. He screwed up the latch. He screwed up the cables. He messed up the locking mechanism. He messed up the striker. He messed up the harness. right? He actually ripped the door panel off without taking the opening the door. So if I would have went to Hyundai and bought all these parts new, it would have been $1 billion. So I figure I'll buy a used door, I'll scarf out all the parts in the used door and put it in his door and then fix it, which we did. We gutted the used door, we put the parts into that. He came down and he fixed it. And you know, he's still talking. I don't know what happened. I just said like this. I said, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. I told you the story about, you know, the mathematician who was the head of Norristown's department. He was a brilliant man, knew all kinds of stuff. And he came down the garage and the hood was open. And he said, somebody hit my car. And I said to him, and he points to the hood, and I walk up and I put my hand on the hood and I go like this and I shut it. And he was amazed. He stood there flabbergasted. Him. I said, your hood was open. Couldn't be. Yes, it was. Couldn't be. He says, somebody must have backed in. I said, no, sir. I says, you opened it by accident. He says, I did not. Then he was upset that I would accuse him of such dumbetry. Is that a word? He says triometry. I say dumbetry. Trigonometry. Dumbetry. I figured it fit. Because the latch is inside, and that's the only way that hood's getting open. And do you know that he couldn't accept the fact that he accidentally... I even showed him how he did. I said, see, this is the emergency brake cable. This is the hood cable. You went to release the emergency brake, and you hit the hood by accident. So I made him a way to keep face, right? And even in my way of him keeping face, he wouldn't accept it. And he left there, and he couldn't believe that he made a mistake. He couldn't believe that what happened actually happened the way I said it happened. And you know that why that was? Because his mind was so accustomed to thinking a certain way that when a simple truth was presented to him, he couldn't accept it. See? And that's what I have learned with regards to some things, not all, but some things in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Look at Mark chapter 16, please. What I want you to understand about faith is that faith is based on God's word. Biblical faith. God has given us his word on which we can base our faith on. Let me say it that way. Biblical faith. Now there's another kind of faith. It's called senses faith. And senses faith is based exactly on what it says. It's senses. It's based on your sense knowledge. You understand? And it's good to have senses faith when you're living life. See, because if a truck's headed towards you, you better have the good sense to move out of the way. That's a good thing. If you want to buy something, you better have enough sense to bring money with you so you can buy it. But senses faith and biblical faith are two different things. Senses faith is based on the senses. Biblical faith is based on the Word of God. God gives us his word. Matthew or Mark 16, it says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now what I want you to see is I want you to see the order of what's going on. He said unto them to go and to what? Preach. And preach anything?
Gospel.
No, preach the gospel. The gospel also can be translated good news, or it could also be known as the word, right? Mm-hmm. Preach the word. Preach the word. See, because biblical faith is based on God's word. Faith is based on what God says in his word. And God doesn't expect anybody to have biblical faith unless they first have something to base it on. Now follow this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what?
Saved.
And he that believeth not shall be what?
Damned.
You see? First, you have to have a message. You have to have the word of God in order for someone to believe. You present the word, the scripture. Then that individual has an opportunity to believe. Okay? If they believe the word that they hear with regards to salvation, because that's what we're reading about in context. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what?
Saved.
Talking about salvation. If they believe what they hear with regards to salvation, God gives them the faith to be saved. We sang about it this morning. Believing's the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Let me show it to you in Ephesians chapter 2. So, you have to have the message. You have to have the word of God. Do you have the ability to believe or disbelieve the word of God?
Yes.
Sure. To disbelieve the word of God is what the scripture says to be faithless. Who was faithless when he heard about, hey, we have seen the Lord? And he said, unless I will, right, I won't believe. So he heard the word of God. That was the word. Okay? But he didn't believe. The word that is spoken, now you have an opportunity to believe. If you believe the word of God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when you were dead in sins. Now we're talking about an unsaved person. We're talking about a person who is dead in sins. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, or by whose grace you are saved, one text reads. Look at verse 8. For by grace you are saved through what?
Faith.
Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. See, if you could be saved that of yourself, it'd be senses faith. It's something that you could accomplish. But it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. See, faith doesn't come of you. It comes because it's the gift of God when you believe. That's what it means. You believe the scriptures. God gives you the faith to be saved. It's salvation faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. If you could do it, if you could believe and have nothing else involved, then it wouldn't say that not of yourselves. You need to have something else involved in order to be born again. See? It says, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. And the faith is a gift of God. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what gets you born again. Faith comes as a gift. Look at Romans chapter 12. Believing is your choice. But see, you can believe, and then you can believe with a result when you act on the word of God. It says, for I say, verse 3, Romans 12, 3, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of what?
Faith.
Okay, so who did the dealing?
God.
Did you do it?
No.
No, I'm talking about salvation faith now. Because I'm going to show you. Who dealt the faith out?
God.
It says God dealt the faith out, right? God did it. So faith is spoken of as being dealt. How does faith for salvation come? Now that's my question. Look at Acts chapter 10. And while you're making your way there, I'll read to you Romans 10:17, which you already know. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's what the scripture says, right? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my question now is, how does faith for salvation come? Well, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, not just hearing it here, but hearing it to the point that you believe and you act accordingly. So, in Acts chapter 10, in verse 1, it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose his house by the seaside, and he will tell thee what thou oughtst to do." Now, what I want you to see is the word tell. Okay? Now, this is talking about the salvation that's the first Gentile is recorded in the scriptures. All right? Now, if you're going to tell somebody something, you have to do what? You have to speak. You have to open your mouth. You have to talk, right? Now, go to Acts chapter 11. You can read the record. You can see what happened. And Cornelius did, in fact, get born again, spoke in tongues. And Peter was called back, and he was put on the carpet because he went into someone from another country, namely a Gentile, which it was unlawful for a Jew to do. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 14, he recounts the situation, and he says, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what?
Saved.
You see? So we see that Peter told him what?
Words.
See, because Mark said, go into everywhere and what? Preach. Give them the word. So what you have to understand is that the word precedes faith. The word precedes believing. You first have to give them the word. And as an individual, they have the right, they have the ability to believe or not believe what you're speaking. "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what?" Words. People are saved by hearing the word and believing it and receiving faith, salvation faith. But it all starts with words, because God deals out the measure of faith. He deals out the measure of faith to the people that don't believe? No. Because if they believe, they'd get what? They get saved. Have you ever spoke to someone who doesn't believe?
Yes.
Do they have the right? Do they have the ability to believe? They chose to do what? Did they get dealt the measure of faith? Why? Because they didn't believe. But it all starts with words. It starts with words. Look at Romans 10:17. We'll go to Acts 8:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God." See, you got to hear the message. then you believe the message. And at that moment where it clicks inside of you, God deals out that measure of faith. And he grants to you salvation. But it's you. It's God. You got to believe. See, it's not just you sitting down doing it by yourself. It says, and that not of yourselves. Trying to get saved without God dealing you the measure of faith is not going to work. You get to the place where you believe and God gets involved. Believing's the key to heaven. Faith unlocks the door. Now come in. Acts 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria to preach Christ unto them. Verse 5. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip what? Okay, so already in the verse 5, we saw that Philip went and he did what? He preached. If you're going to preach, you have to what? Open your mouth and speak words. So what's he doing? He's doing what Mark 16 says. He's going and he's preaching the word. He's preaching the word. He's preaching the word. Now, the people's response. The people, with one accord, gave heed to those things which Philip what? Spake. They gave heed. You know what that means? They believed what he said. They heard it. They believed what he said. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, unclean spirits, so forth and so on, great joy. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Talking about Simon, you could read it yourself. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed what? And he was baptized, and he continued with Philip, wondering and beholding the miracles which he was done. Verse 14, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So Samaria had received what?
Word.
How do you think Samaria received the word of God?
They heard it.
Verse 5 says that Philip preached to them. Verse 14 says that they had received the word of God. But it says that he spoke about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. See? And they believed. Faith for salvation comes from hearing the word to the end that you believe. And then God does a work in you. It's called the new birth. He gives you the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. And it's not of yourself. It's that not of yourself. You can't do it yourself. You do what you're supposed to do. And then God supplies you with the gift. Okay? God does his part. Look at Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they had not believed? You can't believe in somebody unless you first what? Heard the message. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why he said preach the gospel to all the world. Because when you preach the gospel, you give them the word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you give them the word, now they have the opportunity to believe or disbelieve. If they disbelieve, they don't receive faith for salvation. But if they believe, God supplies them with faith for salvation and gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. See? Because it's not of yourselves. Not of works, not of yourselves. You can't do it by yourself. You can go up to the bar of God, so to speak, but he's the one that's got to serve the drink. Really? You believing, hearing the word, believing the word, taking action, going up to the bar of God is your part. You can't do anything else other than that. It's like this. I've planted, so-and-so watered, but now it's God's turn to do what? He's got to give the increase. You see, God gets personally involved. The Holy Spirit gets personally involved. You do your part, and then you expect God to do his part, and he does. He does. Faith for salvation comes when you believe the word of God, you hear when it's preached. Now, Romans 10, verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy what? Thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith we preach. And then he goes on, and he gives them the word of God. And the word of God is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he gives them the word of God. Now, they can believe the word of God, and they can receive faith for salvation and get born again. Or they could disbelieve the word of God and not receive faith for salvation and get born again. Look at Romans 1. The point is this. Salvation, faith, getting born again, comes by hearing the message. Then you choose whether you want to believe the message, and then depending on what you believe, God either acts or is not able to act according to your believing. It's that simple. It's that simple. He wants to act. He wants to deal to you the measure of faith. He wants to invite you into his family. But according to your decision, whether you believe the message of the gospel or you disbelieve it, God's hands are tied, so to speak, because of your belief. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul said. 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto what? Salvation. To everyone that what? Believeth. See it? First the word, go into all the land and preach the word. Those that believe shall be what? He knew that. He knew that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He knew that if he preached the gospel and if people believed it, they'd get what? They'd get saved. That's what it says. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, 2:13, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in everybody. No. In you that what? Believe. Believe. That's your part. To believe, and then God does his part. This is a principle in the Word of God. I'm going to show it to you. James chapter 1, verse 18. of his own will begat he us with the word of what? The word of truth. That's how you got begotten. That's how you got born again. With the word of truth. The word of truth. So forth and so on. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your what? That's how you have to receive the word. You believe it. You receive it with meekness. The result is it's able to save your souls. You first hear the word, you believe the word, and then God does his part. God imparts to you the benefits of Calvary. That's what he does. Now, if faith for salvation comes by believing the word of God, okay? If you don't like the way I'm wording it or phrasing it, when you speak to someone, you give them the truth about Jesus Christ, you tell them the word, right? And they believe, what happens? They get what? Born again. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And if faith for salvation comes that way, you speak the word of God, they believe the word of God, God deals to them the measure of faith. God creates in them Holy Spirit. Okay, let me put it to you that way. Look at Mark. If faith for salvation comes by believing the word of God, how does healing come? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Number one is you present what? The word precedes anything, right? You give them the word, right? Number two, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Number two, the individual has a choice to make. They either believe or disbelieve. If they disbelieve, they stay where they're at. If they believe, God imparts to them the measure of faith. He deals to them the measure of faith. They get what? Born again. God creates that individual Holy Spirit. He that believeth not shall be what? Damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Won't get sick if you eat so and so. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? All right, so the principle is this. You find the word of God is presented to you with regard to a particular subject. So let's take salvation. If you were all brand new and you weren't born again, I could show you in the scriptures about Jesus Christ, about how you were all dead in trespasses and sin, about all of you are lost. I could show you where he came. I could show you what he did on Calvary. I could show you how God raised him from the dead. I could go into the word and then I could show you this he made available to you. I could teach you that faith comes by hearing the word. I'm teaching you the word. All you have to do is believe what I'm teaching you is true and receive, and God will do a work in you. And I teach it to the point that I'm convincing. And you say, I believe that man, what he says. And you silently confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And at that moment, what happens to you? Right? You get what? You get saved. You get saved. You get the new birth. Call it whatever you want. That's the way it works. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if someone says to you, I need revelation to see if I'm supposed to speak the truth of salvation to you. What are you going to say? Yes. Why?
Jesus already gave the command.
It's in the Word. Command's already been given. Do I need revelation to give what's available in the Word?
No.
Already got it? It says in Mark 16, preach, those that believe shall be what?
Saved.
That's the key. That's the key. No one ever would think to say, I'm not going to you because I don't have revelation to speak to you about salvation. You know why you don't have revelation to speak to anyone about salvation? Because the revelation already been given in the Word of God to go into all the world and speak to every creature. So if you're waiting on revelation to speak about salvation, guess what? You ain't going to get it. Because you've already been commissioned. Am I right?
Yes.
Now you get that, right? Why don't you get that when it comes to casting out demons? Why don't you get that when it comes to laying hands on the sick and healing them? Why do you want to tell me I need revelation to minister healing? I don't have revelation, so I'm not going to minister healing. Let me ask you a question. Has God's Word already declared to us the promise of God with regards to healing?
Yes.
Has he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee?
Yes.
Has he said, I've forgiven all your iniquities and healeth all your sicknesses?
Yes.
Has he said, I wish above all things that thou be in health and what?
Christ.
Has he said, by whose stripes you were what?
Healed.
Has he already revealed his will concerning healing in the Word of God?
Yes.
Has he already revealed his will concerning salvation in the will of God? So if you're going to tell me I need revelation to lay hands on the sick, so if I get God's green light to heal them, I got every right to tell you I need revelation to go speak to anybody about salvation because I need God's green light to go talk to them. Same verse. It's the same verse. Right?
Yes.
You see, I don't care about your Greek, and I don't care about your theological learning and upbringing and all your technical whatever. It's the same verse. And this is why people have missed it. This is why people blow it. Because they explain their first wrong doctrine, second fear, by saying, I don't have a green light. I don't have revelation to minister to that person. Look, no one ever questions the message of salvation because salvation has been preached from A to Z and you've heard it from knee-high to a grasshopper, right? And so anybody you see, if you're Christ-like and you're excited about the Word, you're going to go talk to them about what? Because you want them to be saved, right? You want them to be born again. The problem with healing is that you have not been taught knee-high to a grasshopper about healing. Because if you've been taught knee-high to a grasshopper about healing to this point here, it would be as living and real in you as the message of salvation because they're both simply promises of God. God bless you, sweetheart. So you know what we do? We say that God doesn't know his will. That's what we say. This woman's sick. Now I got to say, God, is it your will for me to heal her? No revelation? I'm sorry. Is that a loving God?
No.
Hey, does the Bible say God never changes? Is he the same? He's unchanging? If his will was to heal, he would have to make it known in his word that his will is no longer to heal, right? And he does that with certain things in the scriptures, animal sacrifices, this sort of thing. But is there anywhere in the scriptures that anybody wants to stand up and tell me where it says it's no longer his will to heal? Then don't tell me the revelation. You got to tell me God doesn't love her? Oh, Father, give me revelation. He can lay hands on her to heal this poor suffering woman. I got no revelation. He don't love her. Does that make sense? Really? Does that make sense? No, he could never. He could never. Now, I lay hands on her, she doesn't get healed. What's the answer? The answer is the same answer as salvation. She needs to hear more of the word. She needs to get more convinced. I need to teach her more of the word. I need to help her along the way. I need to love her. When someone, you speak to salvation, message of salvation, someone say, well, I hear you again in this matter, right? Oh, you got an open door, right? So you see him again. Tell you, remember you said, I'll speak. So you do what? You speak them more. You speak more. Do you ever speak to someone about the word of God and they walk you off, flip you off, and then the next day, you know, the next week, next month, they want to hear it and they get born again? I did that. People said to me, I used to mock God. Used to make fun of God. I would thumb my nose at God. And then later, and all of a sudden, what happened? Because someone keeps speaking to me the word. They kept giving me the word. And the problem with healing and the other aspects of God's word is that we don't give people enough of the word so there can be built up and they can believe. And then God will do his part and impart the healing. That's the problem. That's the problem. Manifestations. Healing is a manifestation of the Spirit. Is that correct? Is it listed in 1 Corinthians 12? Speaking in tongues and interpretation is a manifestation of the Spirit, so is speaking in tongues. But this is what has happened. If I'm going to use a logic, I need revelation for healing, and I got to use a logic, I need revelation to speak in tongues. I need revelation to speak in tongues and interpret. Do I?
No.
We've already been giving that in the church epistles. We've already been taught how to do it. But if you got something in your mind that's telling you you need revelation to do that, you're going to speak in tongues and interpret? No. You know why? Because that's what you believe. Because that's what you believe. If you need, someone teaches you that the Holy Spirit has to fall on you and you have to go through a certain emotion before you'll speak in tongues, you're going to speak in tongues? No. You know why? Because that's what you believe. You need to have the word of God taught to you over and over again. That's why I said to you, faith is based on the promises of God. Senses faith is based on what man does. I'm telling you, if you don't get anything, get your mind around what I'm saying. Okay? Because if you're going to tell me I need revelation for healing, I'm going to tell you you need revelation for speaking in tongues because it's in the same verse. Mark 16. If you're going to tell me I need revelation for casting out spirits, I'm going to tell you you need revelation for speaking in tongues because it's in the same verse. Mark 16. Could it be that we have been fully equipped, fully outfitted, we have been given the promises of God, and now it's just a matter of simply believing and walking in faith and not walking by sight? And that's where we miss it. And when someone comes along and says, you need revelation, you know what that is? And I'm not disrespectful to anybody. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's an excuse for you not to put your hands on someone and minister healing. That's an excuse for you never to cast out a spirit unless there's a phenomena of a revelation. That's what it is. You take that and you say, oh, I don't have revelation. Oh, I don't have revelation. Oh, I don't have revelation. Well, I'm going to take the same logic and I'm going to talk about salvation. I'm going to, oh, I don't have revelation. You're going to hell. Oh, I don't have revelation. You're going with her. Now, I know that this is really in your mind. I get it. I just ask you to go to your scriptures and read your scriptures and see if what I'm telling you is right or wrong. Okay? That's all I'm telling you. There's reasons why people don't speak in tongues when they've been taught about speaking in tongues. Anybody here been in a class where someone didn't manifest Holy Spirit? Did they manifest Holy Spirit later? When someone sat with them, and what did they do? Gave them the word, taught them, helped them through it, and what happens? Speaking, right? Same, it's the same truth. But you know what? We don't take that, and we're not consistent with that when it comes to healing. Instead of, okay, you didn't get it the first time, let's work on it. And if this takes some time, if this takes a week, if this takes months, let's work on it. Let's work on it. It's easier for us to dismiss some reason why we don't get the promises of God in our lives, whether it's we're not good enough, we're got sin, or we'll never amount to whatever. It's easier, remember I started out that way, to stay there than to be challenged and say, you know what? I'm going to dare to believe God's word. I'm going to dare to go after this and find these promises in the word, and I'm going to dare to walk out on them, trusting God, knowing that he's a good God and he'll supply my life. Now, I know I've given you a lot to think about, but you take the time, you work it for yourself, and you'll see that a lot of the things you've been waiting for God to tell you by revelation, he's already declared to you to do it in his word. And he's not going to tell you to do something by revelation that he's already told you to do in his word. What he's going to tell you is this: go do what I told you to do that's written in my word that you can read with your eyes first. And as you're moving out in that obedience, I will give you the revelation that you need. That's what he's going to tell you to do. So don't, you know, you got to think it through, make sure it's in the word. But you know what? You undo a lot of this stuff in your mind about waiting for revelation that you've already been told to do. Because that's a big, giant stumbling block for people. And you start just doing it and let God do his part, you're going to see some signs, miracles, and wonders in your life. Because if you're waiting to lay your hands on somebody, and your life is going to go by without God saying, lay your hands on somebody. Because you got something in your mind saying you keep your dukes off of somebody unless God tells you to do that. Or you got something in your mind saying, oh, you need revelation to lay your hands on somebody. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know what precedes that? There's only one thing that precedes it. Those that what? There it is. It says, those that believe. Those that believe. The problem is we don't believe. We don't believe what the word says. We don't believe what's written. We're waiting for God to nudge us. He's already nudged Jesus on the cross. God ever nudge you, you wouldn't live. Just do the word. Don't be afraid. Get rid of the fear. That's what it is you're just afraid. Don't be afraid. I want you to have the fullness of God in your life. I want you to experience God. I want you to experience the word of God. And if you're ministering healing to someone, you know someone that needs healing, teach them the word. Put them in the corner and say, is this what it says? Does God want you to be in health? By his stripes were you healed? Do you believe that? Are you willing to? And just keep teaching them the word. Or simply say to them, okay, forget it. Jesus lied. God lied. He's a liar. Can't trust him. Jesus is a liar. Can't trust him. How silly does that sound? We need to get our unbelief and our crust in our mind shaking off of our mind. We need to take God at his word, and we need to dare to walk out and apply his word. That's when you're going to see the results. That's when you're going to see God work. And this is going to be no good to you at all unless you dare to trust him and go try his word. Believe his word and act on it. And that's all I want for you. You know, it's not a message of you're wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, that guy's wrong. No. Just I challenge you, I exhort you to rise up and do the word. Be a doer of the word. And you'll be blessed for it.